Proverbs for the day, August the 13th, Proverbs chapter 13, verses 9, 12, and 19. Proverbs 13:9, the light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Verse 12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Verse 19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Have you ever asked yourself, do you really want to understand yourself? Rather than talking to yourself and looking to yourself, start with the words of God. We jokingly say that the philosopher said, I know, therefore I am. And my reply is, does that mean when I don't know, I ain't? And we'll start with the words of God here, and we'll start with what God teaches. Look at verse 9. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. First thing to note is that the light is on. The light is on. You know, the picture is really clear in the Bible. Salvation is when God turns on a light. And of course, that light is to grow more and more unto the perfect day. But the picture is, the light of the righteous rejoiceth. That is, we are able to rejoice in God. We're able to see God, identify God, because the light is on. You know, in a mental capacity way and in a mental way, sometimes we talk about somebody, you know, their light isn't on, you know. We talk about when somebody gets knocked out, they got their lights knocked out. Everything goes out for a few seconds or minutes. But for a Christian, when the light is on, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Their light is darkness. If you think about it, now hopefully you got saved and came to Christ at an early age. I didn't. But I know this, that when I did get saved, the light came on. When my folks got saved, the light come on. And whether you're young or old, the light is on if you're saved. I think of the hymn where it says, "In the things of earth shall grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." And the more light we get, the more we rejoice. And it, what rejoices is the light of the righteous rejoiceth. Get this. The light that's in you is from God Almighty, the Holy Ghost. He births you into the family of God. You're a new creature, not a new creation yet. You're a new creature. And so because the light is on, that's what rejoiceth. Get a hold of something. The part of you that can understand God and know God and respond to God, relate to God, is the light. This is why he starts John 1 the way he does. The Gospel of John's theme is the Son of God. And this is why he does it that way. He does it that way because the light is on. And so the light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. It's not even a true light. It's a bare witness that they have. And it's going to go out. Lights out. That's it. Darkness. Oh, they'll have consciousness. They'll be in darkness forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And yet be conscious. If you're saved, the part of you that rejoices in God, the part of you that identifies God, is that light He put in you. The light is on. And then notice in our second verse with this, in verse 12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. I want to think about today the law of deferred hope. This is very similar to that law of chastening in Hebrews 12, where he says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness." And so hope, even in the will of God, even when you're right in the will of God, this truth holds true. This law, you might say, this axiom of God. I think immediately when I think of this thing, a Bible example, that Paul said, "I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift." He said, "I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Let, as in hindered, as in a service. In tennis, they serve it when it hits the net and is hindered but gets over. It's let. It's a let. And that's out of Romans 1, where Paul wanted desperately to go see them. There was other people he wrote to. And he said he had a desire. He said his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And so hope deferred maketh the heart sick. The law of deferred hope. Deferred hope will do this to you. Period. Period. It makes the heart sick. Now, when the desire cometh as a tree of life, the desire will not come to those who just sit down with the sick heart and only hope. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh. Look at verse 19, where it says, the desire accomplished. So in the context of this proverb, it's about something that we have to do something about. Do we need God's help? Yes. Do we need God's providence? Absolutely. But we press forwards. We press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. While our hope is deferred, and what we can have, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Listen, you can have all kinds of emotions while you press forward. While you press towards the mark. I love that old poem, and part of it goes, feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. I'll trust in God's unchanging Word till soul and body sever. For though all earth should pass away, His Word abides forever. We press forwards. We press towards the mark. Inch by inch, it's a cinch. By the yard, it is hard. The law of deferred hope. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And so we might actually literally be experiencing negative emotions, negative intuition, any of those things. And yet, what we're to do is to press towards so that verse 19, look, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Now, to accomplish a holy, a spiritual, a good desire means that we need to abstain from foolishness. We have to depart from evil, abstain from evil. We have to abstain from all appearance of evil. I am absolutely amazed, and I probably don't have a lot of patience with this modern conservative crowd that wants to pretend that abstaining from even the appearance of evil, the best we know how, that there's something legalistic about that, when it's all about accomplishing the desire. He says, think about the end. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Think about the end. Along the way, there's times we have to say no. There's times we have to say yes. And much of that is to ourselves even, or to those closest to us. Here's the problem. Fools desire, but they won't separate themselves unto the task. Now think on this a little bit. Give it some thought. That's why the fool ends up where he ends up. That's why we could be playing the fool if we are desiring, but we're not doing anything about it. Separation, sanctification, service, those things are about the desire. The desire. What do people do when they have the desire? They go to great lengths, don't they? Now, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. And the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. It brings a fruit. So the light is on, the law of deferred hope, ready, and the lift to our spirit. The lift to our spirit. It is a lifting of our spirit when we are able to accomplish the desire, the right desire. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Why, listen, you ought to have some desires. You ought to have some aims. You ought to have some goals. They need to be tied to God and tied to the book. They might be making sure you get in the book every day and making sure you pray for certain people and things every day. Making sure you stay faithful in your habits and in your witness. The light is on. The light of the righteous rejoices. We rejoice in God Almighty. And yet we have to live with this law of deferred hope that when it is deferred, it maketh the heart sick. And yet we press on and we press on. Why, listen? In running, in exercising, in marching, in life. I like what one fellow said. He called in sick one day, and the next day he went to work. And his boss said, "Where were you?" And he said, "I was sick." And he said, "That's okay. That's your prerogative. But I'll tell you this, that the majority of things accomplished in this life are accomplished by people that don't feel all that well." And there's really some wisdom in that. And there's really, truly some encouragement in that. Think about the desire accomplished. It's the lift to our spirit. Now, when we accomplish it, it lifts our spirit so that we can hope again and desire again and desire to accomplish again and press towards and press towards and press towards the mark. Because that's what we're here for. That's what our life is about. God bless you.